Let us quickly today, as we continue into the series of our discourse, Scripture Doctrine of Regeneration. Amen. Hopefully there are some more in the back. Amen. For those that don't have it, copy. Amen. Amen. Hope that you will keep this document in your Bible. We are continually, we are back on it now, and we shall be on it for some time. The Scripture Doctrine of Regeneration. A base scripture, amen, the Liverman is our designated reader. A base scripture is found in Titus chapter 3. Verses 5, 6, and 7, basically. For the sake of time, Elder, I want you to just start there at verse 5. We're continuing to read this each week. Amen. And we shall continue to read it each week. That is, and be indelibly impressed into our mindsets. Understanding. It's so very important for us to understand this communication from God. We're going through so many things in life. There are problems this morning, there are troubles all over the world. Amen. Manifestation of these things are happening, and they will continue to happen. Something that the church's job is to help straight things out. Amen. Well, I have you know that God is in control.
Yes.
Never lost control.
Never.
You will never lose control.
Huh. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
He's got everything covered.
Yes. Glory,
hallelujah. So we should not join the club of those who think that we have been given the task of straightening anything out. Amen. The directives to the church are that the ministry should be structured to edify the body of Christ. Not about any crusade to do anything. We don't have to pick it for anything, nor against anything. No one? Amen. Y'all don't hear me. We don't have to expend our energies to try to get anybody in the office, nor keep anybody out of office.
Glory to God. Thank you.
And this is why we're praying and we're laboring to bring to the understanding of God's people that the course of life, which includes the course of this world, is laid out by God. And all of the determinants have been in place from eternity. And what will happen has happened, and what is happening has happened. Because what is happening is being manifested according to that which has been actualized in God's decree. So we're not about to change anything. Our focus should be on the church. It should be on, amen, God's glorious, amen, institution of the body of Christ and our place in it. Our eternal relationship with Him. This must be our focus, regardless of what other ministries might be doing, or what they may be focusing on, or what they might be prioritizing. Amen. Our orders are to follow the directives that have been given according to the message, amen, that has been delivered to the church through the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul.
Glory to God. Yes, hallelujah.
So we shall abide. All right, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Elder, you can back up to verse 4. Amen. Read those verses through verse 7. Everyone has Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Say amen. All right, read a read.
Titus chapter 3. Beginning with the fourth verse.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
Amen. Speaking of what God's plan is. Amen. And you see, as you look at what the antecedent verses conveying men being brawlers and amen, foolish, disobedience, and serving dollars, lust, and pride, and pleasures, malice, and envy, hate, amen, hating one another, amen. You see, all of this is going on, amen. But here the focus, amen, moves to a point that overshadows all that is going down.
Mm.
Verse 4. Read that.
Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
From all of that. That's right. All of that's going down. Mm-hmm. Amen. It does not deter or alter the program of God.
No,
it
does not.
Does not change the program of God. Does not change the plan of God and the will of God. Amen. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, there are some vivid instructions that are laid out, and it tells and it gives us explanation concerning those whom God has placed and how the church is structured.
Yes.
That he has given to the apostles. He has given prophets. He has given evangelists.
Yes. Thank God.
He has given pastors and teachers. Mm-hmm. And he has given it for the work of ministering.
Well.
For the work of ministering.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then he tells us what the work of ministering is. Is it political? No.
Uh-uh.
Is it social? No. Amen. Is it psychological? No. Amen.
Glory.
Is it physical? No. Not that we don't do things, but above that. Amen. What is the priority? As it speaks here, it says for the edification of the edifying of the building up the
yes.
body of Christ. Well, the body of Christ is spiritual, it's not physical.
Thank God. Yes. Amen.
And so this is why, in spite of whatever is going on this morning, our focus must be where God has focused us.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, read.
Verse 5.
Come as the Lamb of God appeared.
Up here.
How did it appear?
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Not by what we have done. You know, this, amen. Verse 4, focus you away from verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3 are focusing on what men are doing. And here, amen, the focus here is direction-wise is away from what men are doing into what God is doing. So it's not by our works of righteousness, for we have no works righteousness. So how has the love and kindness of God appeared? According what?
According to His mercy.
According to His mercy. What did He do?
He saved us.
He saved us. How did He save us?
By the washing of regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And renewing of the Holy Spirit. Ghost.
When did He do it? Verse 6.
Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
We shall deal with that in a minute. Verse 7.
That being justified by His grace,
mm-hmm.
we should be made heir according to the hope of eternal life.
Now see, when we read it that way, and this is why we go to the Greek.
Yeah.
Amen. It looks like this is something that is in motion and is incomplete. Let's go to our gospel. Let's go to those of you who have your Greek interlinear Bibles. Amen. Turn to them, and those of you who don't, amen. I should have, I think I've got another one now. Amen. For anyone that care to purchase it. Amen. No, we do not trust any translation. We should not be held captive by any translation or any commentary.
Oh.
Amen. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Elder start there at verse 5 and just read that. I know someone said, well, we go through this every week. Well, we're going to continue to go through it every week.
Amen.
Somebody convinced me that we're going through Titus chapter 3, verse 5 too much. I don't think so. Oh, God. All right, everybody that has it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Elder Reed.
Titus 3, 5,
mm-hmm.
Greek text. Not by works in righteousness which did we.
Not by works in righteousness that we did. Read.
But according to the of Him mercy, He saved us through washing of regeneration and renewal spirit.
According to His mercy. And the process is washing, regeneration, and renewal spirit. Amen. Here again, notice that the focus is on what God is doing, and exclusively on what God is doing. We're justified. We're justified. Amen. We have received His love. We have received His kindness. It's according to Him. It's not according to us. It's not according to anything that we have done. It's not according to anything that we're doing. It's not according to anything that we can do. Amen. The focus is on Him. Here we have washing, regeneration, and again, have the Greek word to polyenes, eos. Which is comprised of polyene, which means again, and eunesi, which is rendered birth. But again, birth is not speaking about, amen, spiritual birth, father and natural birth. Here, amen, the focus is on the spiritual birth of the original, amen, work of God in placing you into the body of Christ in the eternal realm. It's only again in reference to it being manifested. Amen. It is actualized in eternity. Amen. It is manifested in time. In other words, God brought it into existence in eternity and He revealed it in time. Amen. And so it pre-existed before we saw it, before we knew it. Amen. Oh, my God. All right, read verse 7.
Verse 7. In order that being justified.
And we've dealt with that. Amen. That is an aorist. Amen. And by this being the aorist, cannot say being, amen. That should be having been. You might even mark that up, amen. I can show you another place where you have the same word, the same declension, and they said having been. So that should be having been, amen. It's the difference between whether a thing is in motion, whether it's complete. If it's complete, it's done. Amen. It's a big difference as to whether I'm on the way to work or whether I'm already at work. I think some of you all can relate to that when sometimes when you're running late.
Glory.
Oh my God. But you're already there. So here, salvation and the fact of your being saved is not in motion, it is a completed fact.
Glory.
Amen. Saved, S-A-V-E-D, you are saved. You are not in the process of being saved.
Mm-hmm.
You are saved. Oh my God, hallelujah. So having been justified.
In order that having been justified by the of that one grace, heirs, we might become according to a hope of life eternal.
Okay, now, here we have, we have a subjunctive aorist. It's a pastor, now, just listen. Yenithoming is a subjunctive aorist. The subjunctive mood, amen, deals with a probability, and this is why it is expressed as might become, because you are saying might become heirs. So the question is it a case that we might become heirs, or are we heirs? Amen. So I think that's worth looking at, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have the subjunctive mood, but you have also the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a what? Past completed action. Amen. So if it is a past completed action, amen, even though it is expressed as a probability, in actuality, amen, the expression is a past completed probability. So, amen, it is probability in the sense of its manifestation, but it is a completed fact. In that all, amen, concerning you as an heir of God was actualized in eternity.
Lord.
Oh my God. Isn't that deep? So basically, might be is only expressive in manifestation, but in actuality, have been. So that should be, might be, haven't been. Oh my God.
Lord.
Hallelujah. We might be having been made heirs according to eternal life. So you have it. You're not, oh my God.
Yes.
You're not trying to get it. You're not on your way, amen, to receive it. Amen, it is yours. It always has been yours.
Yes.
Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Before you were ever manifested in the flesh, in these bodies, it is yours.
Yes.
Amen. Relax and give God the glory and the praise for what He has already accomplished on your behalf. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That always evokes a greater praise, doesn't it? Huh? That said, I hope I'm making it.
Glory.
Amen. If you do, it's already done. Amen. That brings out a greater praise to God, doesn't it? Oh, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, being saved. What does being saved mean? We have moved through this document, and now that we have gleaned, amen, from it, the definition of regeneration, again birth, that it points back to your position in God, in Christ, before the creation of the world. Amen. We want to bring that ingression over into a working knowledge of understanding and appreciating our salvation and who we are, what God has done for us. Amen. Because as we dwell in the world, physicality, and we see the temporal nature of all things around us that are physical, amen, and we see them coming and going and moving, and we don't want to place our salvation in that same category. Amen. In other words, as we look around at things, we don't see anything, amen, that's reliable, amen, in expression of what it is. Here today, gone tomorrow. Amen. But we don't want to put our salvation in that category. Amen. If we want to know that we're secure, and that if everything else around us crumbles and dissipates, amen, we're in a most favorable position. Amen. We have that, not only that we need to try to hold on to, amen, we don't have to hold on to it, amen, because we don't have it, it has us. Oh, hallelujah. And we can relax, and we can praise God, and we can live a life of peace in the middle of the storm. Tranquility, joy in the middle of chaos, in the midst of things that are going on around us. We can have the peace that passes all understanding. And so to do that, we stop and we look at the most important thing concerning us, that is our salvation. This is what proper understanding of the scripture doctrine of regeneration exudes. Number one, to know that you are saved, know that you've already, amen, received salvation, you already received eternal life, you're already in the heir of God, amen. Join in that which belongs to Christ. Amen. To know that you're not working for anything. To know that you cannot work for anything. Know that you can say, thank God, it's not based, amen, upon anything that I can do or anything that I can complete. Amen. And so, to do this, we follow the scripture in prioritizing and focusing locale of our salvation in the eternal stream. So there we look to the sphere of eternal workings as they exclusively entail every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, amen, which states that blessed, high, praised God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, having blessed us in the heavenlies in Christ, in every spiritual blessing, amen, in the heavenlies in Christ, amen. So here, our focus, our priority is there in spite of the problems that we got bills that we're behind. Some of us are struggling, amen, with some of these real high gas bills. Amen. And in spite, amen, of the economy, in spite of the political climate, in spite of inflation, in spite, you hear me? Hallelujah. Our focus here, amen, and our priority is on the essence of what God is doing and what he has done, amen. So, amen, our eyes, our minds, our spirits, our thinking, our aspiration, amen, our dependence is above the things that are around us, above the things of that we see and that we, amen, each day confronted, and I might say confounded with, amen, there's hope, there's joy, amen, in the midst of this madness, amen, there's blissfulness, yeah, amen, there's a way out, there's an end, oh, hallelujah, there's a blessed place, there's a hope. Oh, my God, that is above those things, amen, that are around us, amen. We must go up into the vertical plane and view from where God has viewed us. The total panoramic view of what God, amen, has already accomplished. And he has placed you in a most favorable position. And this is why we're focusing on this. Those things that are eternal. Those things that can never change. And so in doing this, our focus is on our salvation and the understanding of that.
Yes.
And the verses concerning it. And this is why we continue to focus our attention to the eternal workings of God, eternal transforming, divine undertakings of God. Amen. Which have entered into our salvation, amen, and cause us to realize that every feature concerning it is God working, God moving, and it entails all that transcends human activity, amen. And if it's accomplishable at all, and it has been accomplished, it's by God alone, amen. We must receive this truth from, amen, and rest in it,
yeah,
and profit from it.
Yeah.
Amen. The essence of what Christ's faithfulness exudes, amen, in bringing about that which is to our advantage. Mm-hmm. Now, we had moved into an area, and again, we say that it is not our intent, amen, to be combative. Certainly not our intent, amen, to sow any discords among Christendom concerning the doctrinal positions of salvation. But we also realize that it is to the advantage of God's people,
yeah,
to come to know and to fully understand the glorious blessing that we have already received. And to this end, we militate against the orthodox practices that are going on and how salvation has been presented. And I know that might put us at odds with some, amen, but I think the benefit that is to be gleaned far ways, amen, anyone getting upset with the preaching and teaching of eternal salvation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To do this, we must point out some errors and practices that institutionalized in the church. So today, again, we look at that which has been fostered as the process by which men are saved. Amen. In many quarters this morning, it is being preached that one is brought into an everlasting relationship with God through the process of one repenting and believing. And to militate against that is to be called a heretic and all of that. And of course, amen, once we get into it and we see what the Word of God is saying, amen, then that all becomes amen, moot point as to what someone may say against you. If you're following the Word of God, amen, and the Scripture's talking, the Scriptures are talking, amen, then that goes above anything that anyone can say against what your doctrinal position is. But it is a note in many ministering circles that they first pass off as a genuine, one must repent and believe to be saved. How often have we heard that? Here, the thinking is repentance and believing are conceived of as volitional acts, a voluntary acts, amen, by which humans amen, perform the task, and as a result of it, they are accepted and they receive salvation. So last week we go over this again, amen. We look at this word repentance. First, we look at the meaning of repentance. Then we will look at the relationship of repentance to believing. Then the relationship of repentance and covenants. Then dispensational inclusions and absence of demand for repentance from salvation in the scriptures. And then the significance of repentance in specific passages of scriptures. Amen. We shall look at repentance all over the place. We shall go into, amen, both our gospels and into the covenants and messages of other gospels to see what it means, amen, and to see what it does not mean. Here, the Greek word metanoia is, in every instance, it is absolutely translated repentance. But repentance simply means a change of mind, a change of heart. Amen. Let us go to Matthew chapter 20. Yes, Pastor said Matthew 21, verses 28 and 29, in order to just get the meaning of the word. The meaning of the word. Amen. Sometimes if we can just get the definition and meaning of the word, amen, then that allows us to use it correctly, amen, in our conveyances. In the 28th verse of Matthew, amen, just to save time, amen, it is speaking of the son Jesus speaks of, and we're just trying to get here now, the actual meaning of the word, say, I won't go, I will not go, amen. Then afterwards he went. Amen. Now, let's see what happened. Amen. Because basically, what they have taught us, that to be saved, you must become sorrow. And it's a repentance, it's godly sorrow. We're going to deal with also the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Amen. And that verse is not even talking about salvation.
Amen.
We've been taught for years. Salvation is godly sorrow. Repentance is godly sorrow. So you got to be all broken up and sorry you ever sinned. How can a depraved soul ever be sorry at sin? And look, listen. And what makes it confusing, that if you're so sorry you sin,
uh-huh,
and you repent, why don't you go back and do it again?
Amen. Amen. That's it.
Understand. This is why it's so confusing. And at some point, some people just, they throw up their hands. You got many who are inactive today because they're confused.
Confused, yeah.
You say, I try. That's the problem. It's not about you. Your salvation is not about you.
Thank God.
It's about Him.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. You have that. Everybody have Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, we're not here trying to explicate what's going on here. We're in here to find the definition. All right, everybody with me? All right. All right, everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right. I'll read that first in the King James.
28.
Okay. Verse 20. Look at that clock. I'm trying to save time here, if we can. Maybe, All right, I guess you have to go back to 28. Let's go to 28. We'll take the chance there. Time won't allow us. So. go back and explicate.
Matthew chapter 21, mm-hmm. verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now Jesus is giving here an example and explication to, amen, that which has been an inquiry. Amen. And I really don't want to get into this, but let's focus on that word in verse 29. All right, read verse 28.
But what think ye?
Mm-hmm.
A certain man had two sons.
Uh-huh.
And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard.
Uh-huh.
Verse 29.
Uh-huh.
He answered and said, I will not.
Said, I won't. And then?
But afterward, he repented and went.
See that word? Repent. All right. Now, to bring understanding to this, let's go to the Greek text there and read that. When you get to verse 29, go real slow. Amen. So he had two sons, and he told him to the first, and he said, now, go to work. And he said, not. Amen. Sound like some of our children sometimes, don't. Hmm? All right.
Hmm.
All right. Read verse 28.
Verse 28 in the Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
But what to you seems it? Mm-hmm. A man had children too. Approaching to the first, he said, Child, go today work in the vineyard.
Okay.
Verse 29. But he answering said, I go, Lord, and went not.
And
approaching to the second, he said similarly.
And he said what?
Similarly. Similarly.
No, and go back and read 29 again slowly now.
Okay, verse 29. But he answering said, I, Lord, and went not. And approaching to the second, he said similarly.
Mm-hmm.
And answer said, I will not.
Mm-hmm.
Later, repenting, he went.
Repenting. Now, you see this word, and of course, I'm a little disappointed here. You have, oh my goodness, you have a participle here. You have a participle that is translated repent. But you have a participle that's in the aorist tense. And it's in the passive voice. It's in the aorist tense. It's in the passive voice. Passive voice is what? Something that's being done to you. Aorist tense is what? That's completed action. So he was caused to have a change of mind. He didn't do it. It was done to him. And more important than that, you don't see anything there that gives any inference of him being sorry that he said that he wasn't going to do it. Simply means change your mind, change your heart. Now, when we get to our gospel, we'll see that word as it is used, change your mind, change your heart, in our gospel. Now, when you see the derivative of that word, and we don't have time today, we'll go to that next week, in the very favorite part of scripture that some denominations use, amen, when the men of Israel asked Peter, say, what shall we do? What did he say? Amen. And say, repent and be baptized. Repent, which we'll deal with that. Repent. We'll deal with that a little later. Change your mind. Change your heart. Was he inferring that all of a sudden they should become so sorry what they had done before. No. 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 But that is constantly taught. That's constantly taught. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, and we'll just start that next week, when it is properly exegeted, it speaks about the grief, amen, to God, amen, and repentance and salvation so not to be regretted, amen. And here, we're taking that to mean and place that as a process of someone being saved. Saying you must come up all broken up and sorry for what you've done. And if you don't, God's not going to accept you. And we've taken that thing and we run with it. Well, if you read a little further, it said, but the grief of the world produces death. As we bring that into context. The context of this verse, as well as the context of the passage, emphatically iterate the sorrow and grief imposed by God is by design. This is why you have the passive voice. It produces a change of mind, a change of heart, but such should not be mistaken for the change of mind itself. Again, the second son, or the son cited by Christ, said, I won't go, and then afterwards, he changed his mind and went. This is a true example of the process of the meaning of the word, the precept. The word, when you say repent, it simply means change of mind. So when we hear what we have, and we must understand, time is closing on me here, but we have, and this is why, we have two gospels. This is why we have stopped, and we'll put it in writing. You have the kingdom gospel, and you have the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes.
They are not the same.
Yes.
They are not the same. Broken record. They're not the same. They're not the same. They're not the same. You cannot preach the Olivet Discourse of Matthew chapters 3, 4, and 5. Jesus is saying that if your eye offend you, pluck it out, and your hand affect you, cut it off. Amen. Where he's telling you that if someone come to you and they ask the favor, they compel you to walk 1 mile, you walk several. Where they ask for your coat, you give them not only your coat, your overcoat. And in fact, what he's saying, whatever, amen, they ask you for, do more than they ask you. Amen. amen. Believe me, that is that's not for today. That's not for today.
No.
If someone caught in the... They smack you on the left, you turn to the right. Amen. There are two gospels. This is what we're trying to say. Amen. That's for another day and another time. It's not for today. So when you understand that there are two gospels, and the one is kingdom and the other one is grace, it brings you to an understanding. Brings you to an understanding that when you look at this word repentance, you must know where you're reading and what it's about. What is about? What is it about? What is the meaning? What was Peter talking about in Acts chapter 2? What is Paul talking about? Are the two the same? What is required? What is so important from understanding that there are two gospels, that in the gospel of the kingdom, there are conditions, in the gospel of grace, there are no conditions. In the gospel of grace, there's never any inference of you having to do something to get something. In the gospel of the kingdom says that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. The gospel of grace that says forgive because you already have been forgiven. Two different gospels. Covenant messages. So when you go, when you start talking about repentance, and you look in the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace, in the new covenant, in the kingdom gospel, in the new covenant, the call to repentance is precisely an urge for self-condemnation and to a course of a change of mind. This promotes a change in the course being pursued, as Israel, Peter was required to do under the conditional stipulation of their new contract, and that's what Peter was talking about, which is a call to reject their old covenant, which is the Mosaic law, and embrace Christ for the acceptance to God. Amen. Now, Peter wasn't talking to you. You're a Gentile. Some folk get really very upset when you, amen, you explain this. But look, it's necessary. We're not trying to pick a fight, but it's necessary. There would be little progress or no progress made in the right induction of bringing in the eternal workings of God until we straighten this out. In other words, to bring in the eternal workings of God, amen, we must throw out all of these other concepts. For it to come in, we have to clean out. In other words, to say what it is, we have to also say what it's not.
Thank you.
We're not trying to pick a fight. And until we get the understanding of the true meaning, accurate meaning of this word, amen, and we reconcile it to what it means, and also defend it against this scripture misuse. John got to repent to receive this. Such scripture misuse also erroneously forced the relation of repentance to believing. So they tie the two together and assert that it has to be added to belief, and the two of them together, amen, become dual requirements to be saved. Unfortunately, this is assumed so much that anyone that hasn't gone through that process, they're looked at as being unsaved. How dare any of us look at any, amen, one and say and pronounce judgment as to what that person's status is in Christ? You don't know who God's elect. Don't you ever put yourself in a position of saying who's saved and who's not saved. Based upon some perceived requirement of activity. But this has been so dogmatically stated that it is perceived by much of Christendom this is essential to salvation. And you can't be saved apart from it. Amen. This has evolved in many ministries and the practices, amen, and set up as prime lines for separating the saved from the unsaved. Amen. We won't participate in that. Amen. Not with the knowledge that God has given us. Amen. And it just causes so much confusion in the church regarding what salvation is. All over the place. Amen. What kind of practice is this of demanding an anguish of soul as an acumen of exercising faith in Christ? Such emotions have been orchestrated to the point that they're required to be produced almost as well as the way of salvation, and saying that it is impossible for you to get to Christ without doing it. Amen. You must go through this ritual. This also causes the individual to look inwardly at themselves instead of out to Christ. There's nothing in you, amen, that's any good to God. There's nothing in the depraved flesh that's any good to God. So when we look at this, we see all of these suppositions as I close. Supposition, coming to Christ, amen, produces tears and anguish, human expressions of faith, amen. Very serious notion and implication there that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed in eternity is not enough. Very serious. So now you're focusing on what the person did in common, in expression of common, and away from what Christ, what God did to Christ in eternity. Amen. So now we can't see the eternal work of God in positioning such a one in Christ, because we're looking at him, amen, crying and repenting and believing and being sorry, and my goodness. This thinking militates against the fact that the scriptures document God is exclusively propitious because of Christ's death for the very sinful nature that is the source of human sorrow. There's no occasion, as I close today, there's no reason to melt a tip of the heart of God, as his attitude toward us, toward our sins, is a matter of revelation in his eternal purpose. Amen. Its implication, as it is so generally accepted, assumes that God must be mollified by human agony, which is a desperate form of unbelief. The belief of the gospel has been assigned to the elect. Say that again. I close out. You believe because God has caused you to believe. Amen. And when you see the expressions of even repentance, notice it is in the passive voice. The passive voice is something that you're caused to do. Amen. No one who repents, who has a change of mind, does it of himself. Amen. When you come to God, you're caused to come to God. Amen. And the only ones that are caused to come to God are those who are his. And those who are his were determined by him in eternity and placed in Christ as the actual existence of who we are in him. Amen. Versus the manifestation of those, amen, who are caused to believe, who are caused to be drawn to Christ. Oh my God.
Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The child of God is only manifested as being unsaved.
Come on here.
You were saved all the time, you just didn't know it. This does not encumber, this is not incumbent by that which are mere notions. Mm-hmm. Notions that God must be coaxed into a saving attitude of man. It is in eternity that Christ has died. It's in eternity that grace was extended.
Yeah.
It's in eternity, amen, that the blood of Jesus washed away our sins. It was an eternity, amen, that he placed you in the body of Christ. It was an eternity, amen, that he identified you. It was an eternity, amen, that he draw you into a saving relationship with him. It was an eternity that all the workings of God in your behalf, amen, were actualized by his decree in eternity, in eternity, in eternity. And the manifestation of you repenting, of you having a change of mind, was as a result of all of those that was done. Amen. And so it is not God that responds. It is us who respond. We are responders, not God. We'll put God in a place, a position of a responder. Amen. This is why it is so important to go back to the eternal plane and the turnaround. And why this is so necessary? Amen. We see many things that are happening in the world today. Some of them that can be downright frightening. We don't know this. If you don't know this, if you don't know this, amen. You will see a world crumbling around you. You must know this.
Right.
Amen. To stay sane, my Lord, to know that you are secure.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God. And when you know this, you can sing the song that the old people used to sing. Better fellowship.
Hallelujah.
What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness. What a peace of mind. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Safe. Can you say safe?
Safe.
Can you say safe?
Safe.
Safe and secure. Can you say secure?
Secure.
My God. Safe and secure from all along. Why? Because I'm leaning on the everlasting arm, amen, of that which always was, amen. And I may look around and think I'm in danger, but when we know this, we know that we're safe and secure, and we were never in danger. God bless you.
Hallelujah.